Hi, this is Craig Ballantyne, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Daniel Woodrum, welcome to the Back to the Early to Rise podcast.
I feel like I'm your top guest now, Craig.
You might be, especially if we do a couple parts of this, because we're going to jump into leadership, Daniel. And just for everybody listening, Daniel's the head coach in our program. He's also my business partner at Fit Body Bootcamp. I got the shirt on right here. Yeah, exactly. And so Daniel and I have known each other for about 10 years. And it's been amazing to watch his leadership journey. You know, I knew you when you were... You were working at Nine Round when you started with
Training? I think when I met you in 2011, Craig, I had just opened up the Nine Round gym, my first gym I owned,
Wow. So you owned the Nine Round. You're a single guy back then. Then you met Britt. I forget what happened in exact sequence. You know, you became a certified turbulence trainer. You were heavily involved in that. You and I opened up, well, and Britt, we opened up the Fit Body Bootcamp. Was that after you got married to Britt or before?
So we actually opened the gym in February 2015. We got married in April, so about 2 months later. That all happened. Opening a gym and getting married in a 2 month time span was a lot. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then, you know, along came Bleece, 2017?
2018. Yeah.
2018.
A week and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. And then your son Banks is 2019 or 20?
20. Yeah. He just turned 2.
Okay. So he was born during COVID?
He was. Yes. Right in the middle of COVID. Yep. May.
Well, not in the middle of COVID, in the beginning of COVID.
Well, the beginning of COVID. Yeah. In the middle of the, beginning chaos.
Yeah, exactly. Well, my goodness, what a journey it's been. And so what we're going to do a deep dive of here is leadership. We're going to do a deep dive into the leadership journey that Daniel's gone on and download the 5-star leadership principle that Daniel has been able to build himself. And then he's taught everybody that works at our Fit Body Bootcamps. He's taught all of our coaching clients. He's taught everybody on my team. And so, Daniel, this is going to be super exciting. But first, what you wanted to do as we were talking about how to do this podcast is that you wanted to compare and contrast the two leadership lessons and mentors that you had early on in your business. So, it was kind of like rich dad, poor dad, but for leaders, I guess.
Yeah, it's a great way to put it. I might need to write a book on there.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll try to give you a quick rundown here. So back in 2000 and right after college, 2010, I started working for a sports training facility. I was training some athletes and general population. And one of the clients I was training was a gentleman who was in his early 50s. He was a high ranking official, if you will, at a big corporation where I lived. And he saw something in me, and there was a new franchise called Nine Round that actually started in Greenville. And he had approached me and said, "Hey, I am interested in investing in this new franchise, Nine Round. I need somebody to help me run the gym. You seem like a young, ambitious guy. Would you be interested in opening up a gym with me?" I mean, at the time I'm like 22, 23. I'm like, absolutely. This is an incredible opportunity. So obviously a lot of things happened between them, but we ended up forming a partnership. I moved 3.5 hours away to Charleston, South Carolina. We opened up our first gym in 2011. My thought
That's
process,
how you ended up in Charleston.
That is. Yeah. That's how
I didn't know that.
I went up here. Yep. Yep. So my thought process at the time was, okay, this guy is a super successful businessman, right? He's got 30 years of experience. He's gonna be able to mentor me and show me what it is to run a business, but also be a great leader. And in the beginning, because I didn't know what leadership was, I didn't really have a mentor growing up. I had great parents. I had some sports coaches that I looked up to, but I really didn't have that mentor figure to really teach me what it was to be a leader growing up. And so I didn't know any better. So at the time, I thought the way this guy was showing me how to lead was the right way to lead, right? But it was all about leadership through intimidation, working harder, not smarter, doing everything yourself. I remember, Craig, one time, I was working 12, 13 hours a day. And that's okay, right? When you're starting a business, you got to grind. But I did the schedule, but he also was able to see the schedule. And I gave myself a day off from the floor. And I'll never forget, he gave me a phone call and just ripped into me. Like, what are you doing? Are you going out of town? I'm like, no, I was just going to give myself a day off to be able to work on other things. You don't do that. We're not going to be paying anybody else to work for you, blah, blah, blah. And so I realized over time that this gentleman who I thought was a great leader was the exact opposite. Now, here's the cool part. During this time, I was being exposed to Craig through Turbulence Training, through his emails, through different, you know, interviews, conferences I attended. And I saw a different side of leadership through Craig and then also Bedros, who I got to know, you know, over that time as well. And through Bedros and Craig, I realized that they're all about working smarter, not harder, right? They're go-givers. They're about getting everybody else involved and helping other people buy into your vision. And so I realized over time that the gentleman that I originally had my partnership with was everything not to do when it comes to leadership. And Craig and Bedros and other people that I've been involved with over the years showed me the right way or the best way to be an effective leader. And so I'm glad I had both into the spectrum because it was a great lesson for me. And so now I have adopted Craig and Bedros' more leadership style. And use the other examples as ways not to be effective leader.
So if you had to, you know, summarize the Craig and Bedros approach to leadership, like what would those things be?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think one is pouring into your team, right? It's not just about you. You know, if you're a solopreneur, that's one thing, right? You can just lead yourself. But if you're trying to actually build an empire and build a big business, you have to be able to have other people buy into your vision, right? And be able to help you get along there. So, I mean, Craig, you just do an incredible job of making your team members feel important, pouring into us, always investing in us, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. And then you also do a great job of providing effective feedback, right? When I'm not doing my job, you know, you're going to call me out. I mean, a perfect example, a couple weeks ago, when I should have sent you a report by Tuesday morning, I didn't do it. And you effectively called me out on it and provided me feedback. And I said, all right, that's how you need to be an effective leader. And I'll never miss that again.
Well, yeah. And also provided a solution in that, like, okay,
yes, 100%.
You know, this thing wasn't done. So how do we make sure that it is done in the future? Because it's kind of like when people bring other people problems in any area of life, whether it's a team member bringing me a problem or me bringing a problem to a person, or, you know, your kids bringing you a problem, like, great. Don't just bring me the problem, bring me a solution to the problem. Like, what do you suggest that we do? So I think that is very important because in most cases, you're going to get some of your best solutions from the people who have the problem or people who are, you know, we've had some of our best ideas in our business have come from our customer service team. And I mean like the best marketing and sales ideas. And so you have to make sure that you are open to listening to everybody. So I think listening is a really, really important part of leadership, but I think also that recognition. And I think this goes in almost every relationship in life. Whatever you want more of, you must reward. So if you want more meals, like a certain meal that your partner made for you at dinner tonight, then just heap the praise, you know, and talk about it all the time. But, you know, if you really enjoyed it, but you never say anything about it, you're not going to get more of it because they're going to think, well, they probably didn't like it. And if you want your kids to do something, if you want your team members to do something, if you want your followers on social media to do something, reward those people when they do something that you want to continue. For example, like if somebody listening to this has followers on anything, whether it's YouTube or Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever, and somebody shares a piece of your content, you want to recognize that person. You want to make it seen by other people that this is how we do things here. You know, if you go and share my content, then I'm going to, you know, reward you and give you a shout out. And then that's going to go and encourage other people. Cause it's kind of like, I call it the gold star phenomenon. When you were a kid and you spelled something right in grade one and first grade and your teacher gave you a gold star. Well, you were like, oh, I want to get a gold star every time. So I'm going to, you know, try my best at spelling. And it's the same thing for pretty much every area of life. We want a gold star from the people that matter to us and that matter in our lives. And so if we're rewarded for doing something, we'll do more of it. And, you know, that can actually be a negative thing too. So for example, like, you know, somebody listening has teenage kids and they do something stupid and all their friends laugh and, and in a good way. And their friends are like, yeah, that was awesome. Well, they're getting positive praise for doing something bad, and they're going to do more of that bad thing. So, you know, they need to be corrected as quickly as possible. Because I know I did stupid things because, you know, it's the opposite of peer pressure, is that peer recognition. So
yeah, that's good.
So it's super important. So what else have you learned from Bedros? You've really been in Bedros's world for a long time as a Fitbody owner. You know, he's a Fitbody franchisor. What else do you really like that he does as a leader?
You know what? I think what I love about Bedros is he leads by example. And I think he's a perfect illustration of when he started taking better care of himself, like with his relationships, his health, he became a better leader. And I've seen it through Fitbody. And so every time I reflect back on when have I been the best leader in my journey, it's always been when I've been optimal myself, right? When my relationships have been great, when my health has been great, when my time management has been great, when my communication has been great. So I just really, it's just kind of been just being exposed to Bedros and even watching him through social media last, you know, year or so, when he's really kind of made his own transformation, I feel like, and made that turn. He's just been a more effective leader. You can see it. And so that's something I've always been trying to live by myself, is that when I'm optimal, when I'm living my best personal life, that's going to make me a more effective leader as well and help me pour into my team.
Yeah. So then we flip it over and we go, okay, we've been talking a lot about good leaders. What the heck do we see in bad leaders, and in, you know, including the person that was your first kind of mentor?
Yeah. So, I mean, I could go in many, many different directions here. I think one is not taking extreme ownership. It's, you know, it's easy to point the finger at you when things are going well, and then point the finger at other people when things are not going well. And so that's my former business partner. That's exactly what happened. Every time we were having success, it was always him praising himself. And where things were going, you know, wrong or not as well, it was always everybody else's fault. And so I think taking extreme ownership and not blaming everybody else, and we'll talk about this, Craig, but having the clear expectations on that, is a big, proponent of being an effective leader. And then another thing is, it's just not delegating, right? Is not being able to delegate. You're trying to take on everything yourself. This could probably be a whole separate podcast that we could do later on. But one of the biggest struggles that I see coaching clients that join our program is that they just don't know how to effectively delegate. But it's also because they don't have clear expectations and communication to be able to properly delegate.
So now you're the leader of two organizations. You're the leader of Fitbody Bootcamp. And how many team members do you have there?
So right now we've got 7.
Yeah. And when we had the 2 locations, you had long distance leadership and you probably had twice as many people. So what have been some of the biggest lessons? What's the biggest lesson? Because I know we're going to talk about the 5 pillars later on, but what's the biggest lesson in leadership that you discovered, first of all, in the distance, long distance?
Yeah. I mean, communication is key, right? When you can't be at 2 places at one time and you're trying to run an organization that's 3.5 hours apart, being able to have communication, but also having an effective communication, being that we had a manager that we were able to develop that was able to essentially run the gym for us, named Jessica, for 3.5 years. So what I learned was that I needed to have direct communication with her, and then she would have communication with the other folks on her team. So that kind of that command there of communication, which is extremely important, because in the beginning, I tried to communicate with everybody and there was a breakdown of communication. I was overstepping Jessica, even though she should have been in that leadership role. So making sure that I had that direct line of communication with Jessica, and then she could funnel that down to everybody else, was probably the biggest learning lesson of running multiple locations like that I learned early on.
Yeah. And so in the Fitbody Bootcamp, compared to the coaching team that you run now at Early to Rise, it seems like there'd be a difference in the Fitbody Bootcamp. It's more of, you know, a very experienced owner and relatively inexperienced team members, versus at Early to Rise, you're a very experienced coach, but the coaches that you lead are also very experienced. So how does the leadership style differ between those two aspects?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think that as far as the coaching program is concerned, with some of the coaches that we have that are just as experienced, if not more experienced than I am to a certain degree, I think what I've learned is that being able to, it's funny you said that, communication, right? Being able to listen more, because they have a lot of great ideas. So I'll give you a perfect example, Craig, is that Gavin, Coach Gavin, who's been on our team for about 6 months now, amazing guy. He helped us just develop a 6-month framework for our coaching program that I helped him help create it, but he was the one that took charge of it. He created it, and I just kind of helped feed him different ideas and gave him feedback. Where someone in my gym business, like coaches, we've got to have a little bit more direct line of communication and teaching and delegation. But with someone like this, it's like they have all the tools. I just need to be able to funnel them the energy and the direction on where to take it.
Got it. Well, that's awesome. And so I think what we'll do now is we'll wrap it up with, do you see any other differences between good leaders and bad leaders? And maybe use an example, like what do you see in, do you see any differences between good leaders and bad leaders in sports that everybody can see, or politics that everybody can see, or just an area in life where it's so easy to see here's a good leader in this industry and here's a bad leader in what you want to do and not do?
Yeah, this might be a little bit of a different approach, but I think treating your employees or your players, if you're a sports team, like they're human beings first and foremost, right? And I feel like in the world right now, there's so many different things, right? There's so much unrest. There's so many mental health is a bigger thing than ever before. So I think it's just one is that you don't necessarily need to be friends or best friend with your team members, obviously, but you have to treat them like humans first and foremost. So I think just having more empathy and having more understanding and being able to ask questions, personal questions. How are you doing? How are you feeling? Is there anything else that we can do for you? And asking more questions to allow them to be able to speak more, to speak up more, and be able to, you know, share some of their emotions, frustrations, whatever it may be. Then hopefully you can help them solve those. I think that's something that I've really been bullish on lately, and I've seen good leaders be able to do that.
I love that. I love that you used the phrase bullish on that. So that's fantastic. So next, what we're going to do is we're going to roll into, in the second episode of this, the following episodes, we're going to roll into your 5-star leadership principles. Real quick, what are those, and what will somebody take from that, and how will they be able to become a better leader from those 5-star principles?
Yeah. So these 5-star principles, these can be applied across any industry. If you have an in-person business, a remote business, if you have 1 or 2 employees, if you have 20, 30, 40 employees, these can be done by any type of industry, any type of owner. And the 5 principles, here, give you a little teaser here, are clear communication, clear expectations, trust, feedback culture, and then investing in your team. So that's what we'll be talking about in the next episode.
Yeah, those last two are so important. And you were going to talk about how you become a feedback freak is is one of the things that you want to teach. And also, we're going to talk about listening, how you become a great listener, because I was a horrible listener at first and still not great at it, but it is a learnable skill. Last thing, Daniel, do you have a coaching client that you just want to give a shout out to because they become a great leader by implementing these 5 star leadership principles? Like, you know, who are they? What's their industry? What was their struggle? Where are they now?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And this is very timely. So Simon, I just had a call with Simon about 2 hours ago. He owns a t-shirt company, and he's been coaching client of ours about, I think, 5 months now. Everything that I explained about being a bad leader, I think he would admit this to you. He had all those characteristics. He was blaming everybody else. He didn't have clear expectations. He didn't have communication. And he was super frustrated. Every time I got a coaching call, I mean, he was so negative, and it was always everybody else's fault. And so I actually started walking him through these 5 principles. We just had a call about 2 hours ago. It's the best call we've had in 5 months, and he's really developed into a leader. So now he has more consistent and clear expectations and communication. He's taking a vacation on Wednesday for an entire week with his family. It's the first time he's been able to actually cut off from work in 3 or 4 years. And so he's extremely excited about that. And now he's taking more personal responsibility. And so when things aren't going well, instead of blaming everybody else, he's putting the blame on himself, and he's finding a solution much quicker.
That's fascinating. Well, I mean, we're really going to dive deep into, those 5-star leadership principles and understanding that you cannot blame others. If you're a leader, you can never, ever blame others. It all comes down to you. If you are the leader, if it doesn't come down to you, then you're not the leader. And that's either because you're not actually in that position or you're simply not a good leader. So Daniel, I'm super excited to break that down. So we will deal with all 5 of those, including the feedback freak, in the next episode. Until then, everyone, Daniel, if somebody wants to reach out to you and ask you a leadership question, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, it's Daniel at craigballantine.com.
Absolutely amazing.